This is a Niche Radio podcast. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the second episode of Pop Box, where we discuss all things that make the pop culture wheel go round. I'm joined, as usual, by Devon Kuhn.
Hi, good day.
I am Natalie Leclue. And today, we are going to first be talking about some things that have made news in the world of pop culture.
We're going to be looking at some of the new shows that have started. And we're also going to be looking at books for a change as well, to add a little bit of spice to the life.
Yeah, we hadn't mentioned that before, but we will be covering new books that we think are interesting.
Yes.
And hopefully worth a read.
You were mentioning something about the Hillary Clinton book.
Yeah, it's a third memoir that's coming out. It's coming out on the 16th of September. It's going to be available. And it's called What Happened?
So what did happen?
She lost.
That is terrible.
That seems to be, you know, the overarching answer to what happened. But this book dives in a little bit more into the behind the scenes of the 2016 election.
I think that it could be quite interesting to see from a different perspective, because what we've only seen now is from analysis and reviews rather than from the actual people who are involved in the situation. So,
yeah, and there have been some excerpts released from the book already. They seem very, very interesting. And at the end of the day, let's not kid ourselves. There are always going to be people who agree and people who disagree. It certainly looks like it'll be a very interesting read, and I'm looking forward to reading it.
Speaking of elections and election night in particular, let's have a look at AHS, which has just started.
No. Yeah, season 7 has started. We touched a little bit on it in our previous episode.
Yes.
It's themed or called Cult.
Yes.
I've seen the first episode.
Lucky you.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it was seriously creepy. Mm-hmm. That normally means that it's going to be good.
Yes. But if it's Ryan Murphy, if it's creepy, it's good. Yeah. If it's not so creepy, it's not so good. So we'll have to see how it goes.
And actually, to be honest, it was more intriguing than creepy, but we'll get to that a little bit later in our review.
With AHS, it starts with election night. I mean, and it also has clowns involved in it, which is one of my phobias.
Which is the next bit of news we want to get to.
Yes. It is coming out soon.
It's the Stephen King, based on the Stephen King novel,
yes.
And it's a remake of the original film.
And from the trailers, it seems like it's exactly the same as the original.
Disgustingly creepy.
Well, yes, and the first one was disgustingly creepy. And red balloons, that's all I can say, is I never want to see a red balloon again in my life.
We are planning to see it.
Are we? You were mentioning that.
I ran a Twitter poll on the Popbox Twitter profile asking, because I'm so undecided about whether or not to see it,
yes.
Asking if I should go see it. And it's overwhelming majority at the moment. 86% of people say, go watch it and watch it alone in the dark.
At night.
At
yes.
night.
Which would be quite interesting.
So I shall follow the advice of the Twitterverse.
So speaking of clowns and Pennywise, the main character in It, you've seen the first episode of American Horror Story, so
I have.
Tell me a bit more about it.
Before that,
to our review section
just a bit of a sidebar, there are Pennywise Funkos coming out.
Okay.
Figurines.
Yes, I know.
They look, Funkos are always normally cute.
Yes.
Pennywise ones, not so much.
But any clown is too much for me.
So yeah, the first episode of season 7 of AHS. As you said before, it starts on election night. Sarah Paulson plays a character called Ellie, and she is horribly disgusted at the fact that Donald Trump wins the election, to the point of hysterical tears and panic attacks and so on. And she also suffers from coulrophobia,
which is a phobia for clowns.
Which is a fear of clowns, but above and beyond that, she also has other phobias. And they all seem to be triggered by Donald Trump winning this election. And from what I could pick up from the first episode is that I think the season is going to focus a lot on triggers. is. Because Billie Lord, Carrie Fisher's daughter, and from Scream Queens, is also in the season of American Horror Story. And she's actually watching the election results come through on her laptop on CNN. And she makes this comment that, oh, you should have given us a trigger warning before you gave us the result. So I think that's going to come in more and more, this whole thing of trigger, of being triggered.
Very cleverly written.
And then you have the contrast to Ellie, which is Kai, which is being played by Evan Peters.
Yes.
And he obviously celebrates the fact that Donald Trump has won the election and actually actually goes too far as to make himself look like Donald Trump with blending Cheetos and like spreading it onto his face and changing his hair and so on.
I love Evan Peters. He's brilliant in all the American Horror Stories that have come to pass, and just scares me now even more than the clowns.
And we spoke also in the first episode about how the seasons of American Horror Story are linked, and we see Twisty the Clown. It doesn't seem from the first episode, from what I could gather, that he exists in season 7, but he's like there in comic book form.
And that's from season 4.
Freak Show. And again, Ellie, they have a son, Ellie and Ivy, played by Alison Bull from The Newsroom.
Okay.
They have a son called Ozzy, and he's reading this comic book, and it obviously triggers his mother's phobia.
Oh, right. Okay, I see how it's all linked then. Yeah, I'm looking very forward to watching it, although the clown aspect of it is not so great for me.
Yeah, and there are definitely a lot of clowns in the first episode. There's this whole... perhaps a sort of concept that Ellie is being gaslighted.
Okay.
So that's something interesting, I think, to keep in mind when you do watch it yourself as well. But I think it's evident from the first episode that there's going to be a lot of references to the election and the sort of mentality that the American people now have.
Do you think that's because it's been publicized quite a bit that Donald Trump is
a Freudian slip.
Exactly, there we go. That he is regarded as a clown in politics.
Yeah, certainly by a large amount of people, isn't it? Yeah, so, perhaps that comes into it. But I think it's still American Horror Story as you know it. There's a lot of gory scenes.
Yeah.
I was really excited about seeing this first episode, but I normally am when it comes to episode 1.
Okay, excellent. So can we have a little bit of discussion about the female roles that are in American Horror Story?
You want to talk about Sarah Paulson?
Not necessarily.
Here now follows the 3-hour presentation of Sarah Paulson, the basics.
Not necessarily Sarah Paulson.
I'm kidding.
I enjoy her. She's a very good actress. She was brilliant in American Crime Story as well. Very, very good. She deserved that award.
I was actually saying the other day, if American Crime Story were a movie, she'd have won the Oscar.
Yes, definitely. But she hasn't really played in any films.
No, she's been more TV series oriented.
Yeah, but I think with the way that she's being portrayed in these shows that she's in, such as American Horror Story, American Crime Story, that she's becoming a bit more prominent than what you would see other actresses who go from film into television.
But this is the thing, though, and I think this is our point of discussion today in this section of the episode, that I don't know how long ago, let's say a couple of decades, A-list Hollywood film actors wouldn't have been caught dead on TV.
Yes, that's true. And there was at one stage, now that you mention it, that I remember reading about it somewhere, that actors, Hollywood actors, would deem going to work in television as a
inferior
step back. It would be like their career has died and now the only choice they have is to go to television.
But now it's almost the opposite, isn't it? And I think also from the perspective of female actors, for me at least as a viewer, there seems to be a lot more complex, a lot more layered, a lot more nuanced characters, female characters on TV than you see in films.
Definitely. And that's a very interesting point that you make as well, because I've noticed as well with television shows that are coming out these days. And now when you talk about TV shows, you're not only speaking about what you see on the TV itself, it's Netflix, those kind of things. And it is very female dominant. You don't really see so many strong male characters anymore. I mean, if you look at, like, American Horror Story, you have, obviously, Sarah Paulson, Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates, Angela Bassett.
Emma Roberts.
Chloe's, I can't pronounce her name.
Chloe Sevigny?
Yes, that one. Yes, female characters in TV series or shows. Very, very strong characters.
But why do you think that's happened, though? Why? Because now, like we said, being in a TV series is as...
Yes.
It's as acceptable as being in a movie.
If not more revered.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the female characters or actresses that play in these series are quite well-known, quite well-regarded, and A-listers.
Yeah. TV series are now as prominent as films, and the recognition you get from it is as prominent.
Yes, yes. I completely agree with you there, but it's something I must just bring up with you quickly is that it just seems like even in films these days, you see the female character taking the lead. It's interesting to see
how... Not as much as you'd like to see, though.
Well, I mean, if you look at films such as, remember last week we spoke about Atomic Blonde
yeah.
in the previous episode. There's that. There's a litany of different films that you can think of where the female character is the most prominent, because I think women are much more diverse in the way that they're portrayed.
Do you think that's symptomatic of what TV series is like now?
Definitely. I think maybe our audiences, not our audiences, but the audiences have become a little bit oversaturated with seeing the male character being dominant the whole time. So it's good to see that, like, you were mentioning that other one, Claire Danes, in it.
Homeland.
She's the main character. I mean, she controls the whole series.
And it's not like she's this all dominant, super powerful character, Claire Danes in Homeland.
And Claire Danes was also a film actress before she became a TV
yes.
actress.
She plays a very fragile but strong character. Which is
a
what...
Adverse character.
A realistic character.
But that's what I mean, is that I think that's why we're seeing so many more strong female characters or actresses portraying women in a way that you haven't really necessarily seen before, because now we're seeing more to them, that there's more complexity to them.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, these days, I can't even really think about an actor or an actress who hasn't done, is currently doing, or will be doing a series.
I heard via the grapevine or a rumor at one stage that Meryl Streep was considering a series of some sorts. I'm not 100% sure.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The details of it. But I mean, if you look at Meryl Streep and you look at Jessica Lange, I mean, they're both on par with being brilliant film actresses. And you see Jessica Lange going into TV, which she was amazing. Out of all her films, I think she did... I can't really say that because she is an Oscar winner. But she's really good in her roles in television.
Yeah. There's obviously many reasons that contribute to this whole point that we're discussing about how TV series are now almost on par. I wouldn't say it's exactly on par with films quite yet. For me, I think one of the reasons has to be the complexity of the characters that you see and that are written for TV.
Yes, but remember what we mentioned earlier on with television is that we're seeing, like, Netflix. Those platforms, you don't have to wait every week to watch an
episode.
Yeah,
there's this whole... It's not that new, but it's the phenomenon of binge watching.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Which is overtaking film. Because me personally, I would much rather watch 13 episodes of American Horror Story in a sitting than watch, like, 9 hours of Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah, it takes some real stamina and patience.
Yeah, but I'm using that as an example. So,
yes.
I mean, if you look at any film, well, I love films, obviously. I'm a film fanatic, but I also love my TV series. But I don't want to sit and wait until next week to watch the next episode. I want to watch now. I want to see what happens next.
And it's interesting, I think, with Netflix, I think they did it first with House of Cards, where they released all 5 episodes at once.
Yes.
So you could watch them all at once. Their other series, they still have the normal formula of releasing them week by week.
Yeah.
But again, I think it goes to the point again of how excited you are now about watching your favorite TV series or a new TV series that's coming out. We are as excited about films, but...
Yes.
But for me, I'm a bit more excited about TV series.
Because there's so much more to the characters. There's so much more development that's taking place over a longer period of time.
Yeah, it was just what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be a little disclosure, I suppose, that obviously it's easier to develop a character because you have so much more time.
Definitely, for sure.
In TV.
For sure. I can definitely agree with that. And there's a lot of films that could actually be turned into TV series because you want to know more about the characters.
This is the thing, though. People always think that it's a good idea at the time, But when it happens, it hardly ever works.
Yeah, but do you need the right director and the correct writer? I mean...
But I also think, just as difficult as it likely is, you would know more about this than me, just as difficult as it is to conceptualize and actually write a script for a film, it's almost, I think, a little bit more difficult. But I've seen a lot of people, and they talked about their formula and how they go about writing the scripts for their TV series. And I think of Shonda Rhimes, who has created Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice and How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal and all of those. I think of her, and her formula is that she has the beginning already figured out in her mind or on her computer. And she writes retroactively from there, which I think is just really clever, because then everything you write will be in service to that ending.
For sure, for sure, definitely. And, you know, from having the experience of writing screenplays for film and for television, you know, with film, you have to develop the character in your head, and it has to be a fully fledged person. You can't add more to it. So you have to conceptualize your character bible. You have to have exactly how this person's going to be portrayed in that very short period of time that you have. Whereas with television or series, what I would say, you can change along the way. So like each episode will bring a different dimension of the character, where you can see more of the person rather than what you only have an hour and a half to put in. You might have 13 hours to put in, which is the benefit of...
Or even more if your series gets renewed.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Which is another interesting aspect of American Horror Story, because, I mean, it's an anthology series. So it's different characters each season. It's a different narrative. It's a different
To me, that's another example of how brilliantly it's written, because, yes, there are different characters with a different narrative, but played by the same actor.
I think that's brilliant.
That's
it's like
brilliant.
Frances Conroy, which is now in the next season of American Horror Story. I mean, she's brilliant as well. I love her. And she was amazing in every single episode, every single season she's been in, because she adopts that character.
Yes.
Rather than you think, oh, it's Frances Conroy again.
And we're talking mostly about female actors and their characters on TV, I think, because we've touched a little bit on it before, but because there is some diverse roles for female actors or actresses in film, but not enough.
No.
And I think that's probably part of the allure for them towards television.
And that's another aspect that I'm going to bring into a PhD that I want to do about female characters in television series, specifically the feminine role in American Horror Story. Because if you look at every single season of American Horror Story, the main role is played by a woman. And each season, there's an aspect that they deal with. So like season one, it's about the mother aspect, about you know, having to be a mother. In season two, it's about being in a relationship that is frowned upon, where Sarah Paulson is playing a lesbian character, and just because she's got a diverse idea of sexuality, then she's persecuted for it. Season three, you see her playing the head of a coven, and you know, that whole aspect of witchcraft and woman bringing the sinister aspect into people's lives. You know, so it's interesting to see how these characters are being developed.
No wonder people want to be in TV series instead of films.
Exactly.
I mean, look at how intriguing the characters are. And,
exactly.
And we are just talking about one series here.
Yes.
There are so many others.
Of course. I mean, you can mention... Newsroom? No. Yes. No, not Newsroom.
Cancelled.
Cancelled. Okay, well, but it was good while it was still there.
And they had
Animals, which was cancelled far too soon.
Oh, by Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, brilliant.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
And coincidentally, she plays the Secretary of State running for president.
Yes, and yes, exactly, Madam Secretary.
With Taya Leone.
The Good Wife, I mean, we don't really have to go into that. Veep.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant actress, very
sort
strong.
Sort of toilet humour, but very funny.
Well, it has toilet humour in it, but it also has very relevant aspects of current things that are happening in society.
I digress a bit, but she gives the absolute best acceptance speeches.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, she's won so many Golden Globes and Emmys.
Yes, and she actually talked about how when they started Veep, it was only supposed to be satirical, but now it's sort of turned into a drama because it's real.
It's interesting because I recently watched the
Life Imitates Art.
Exactly, the last season of it. I just watched it now, and it's like, wow, okay. It is funny, but it's also very real. and very
too real.
Yeah, but you see, I think that's what they do, because they push the boundary between reality and humor.
Yeah.
So they put the two together. And it also gives you a behind-the-scenes look of what actually really happens in American politics, which is brilliant.
A plethora of really strong and intriguing and dynamic, not just female characters. I know we focused a lot on them, but a lot of great TV characters that you can really, you know, sink your teeth into and get excited about.
Yes, and that's what's making me very excited about the Emmy Awards that are coming up very soon, which I think will be one of our topics of discussion in our next episode.
Yeah, we'll be discussing the Emmy Awards and what happened there.
The winners, the people who should not have been nominated, which has happened before. And we will also be giving you a bit of a review of it.
If we survive.
Yes, that's it. If I can
see
after watching.
If we don't go and hide in the dark corner.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have to pry me out of the corner.
I might be locked up in an institution or something after seeing all of those clowns. And then that's just about what we'll do next week. So tune in next time.
For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.